Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation with Kenneth Mead, Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Transportation, and joining us in our conversation is Young Kim. Well, Kim, the OIG has identified top management challenges for the department in FY05. Could you tell us about these?
Yes. First of all, every year, the Inspector Generals are required to identify their top management challenges and to report such to their secretary, to Executive Office of the President, and to the Congress of the United States. So we do that, and I think it's a very good exercise. We ended up with a top, we call it top 10 management challenges. I don't know exactly where the number 10 came from, but it's a good enough number, and there's certainly 10 challenges at the Department of Transportation. And I'd group them. The one huge challenge when you have a budget of $60 billion and much of the money is going to buy very large acquisitions such as air traffic control or is going to states to build highways and bridges or to cities to build transit systems is the stewardship and oversight of federal funds so that the taxpayer knows that their dollars are going as far as they can reasonably be expected to go. And that's one challenge. I'm not going to go through all 10, but it's one of the major ones that will recur every year. It's probably always going to be a challenge when you're dealing with $60 billion a year. I think another major challenge facing particularly the aviation area is delivering air traffic control services in a way that can accommodate the growing demands for aviation services with less money and with an industry that's in financial distress. And there doesn't seem to be much end in sight when we seem today to be looking at fuel prices around $2.50 a gallon. And that's not only painful for the motorists, it's painful for aviation as well. I would also stress that another management challenge in the aviation area, the highway area, rail area is transportation safety. And that always is going to be a challenge, too. There's been some remarkable strides, I think, in the last four or five years. We have reduced numbers of fatalities, but there's still a long ways to go. Another major challenge is, frankly, intercity passenger rail, what the future of intercity passenger rail is going to be. And some people will say Amtrak, and I think you need to look at this more globally in a broader context than just saying Amtrak. You need to say intercity passenger rail. What do we want our intercity passenger rail system to look like? I think another major challenge, increasingly for federal agencies, is the relationship between security and the emission of the individual agencies. For example, just because there's a Department of Homeland Security doesn't mean that the Department of Transportation doesn't have a security written into its mission. It's a very symbiotic relationship, and we're working our way through that in transportation, but I can guarantee you other departments of government are working their way through it too. And that is a major management challenges that we identified. Let me give you a quick example. Hazmat, hazardous material. We transport lots of hazardous material in this country. Some of the safety issues in hazardous materials, such as that, remember that railroad car accident in South Carolina where they had the leakage of the chlorine gas? In many ways, that could have been the functional equivalent of a security incident. Many of the things that you would do to make sure that hazardous materials move safely, you would also do to make sure that hazardous materials are handled well from a security point of view also. So that's a big, growing area. All departments of government are going to be facing it.
Now, Ken, related to these challenges that the Department of Transportation has identified, in your latest report, you focused on the department's key strategic goals to improve transportation safety, capacity, and efficiency. Can you give us some highlights in each category, please?
Sure. In the area of transportation safety, the reduction of operational errors. Operational errors are where planes come too close in the sky as a result of an error by an air traffic controller. They have been on the upswing. When you have two planes converging at high speeds and they get too close, that is not something that you want to see happen. So that was one that we emphasized. And I'm happy to say the agency is responding and taking corrective action. In the areas of capacity and efficiency, we're very concerned with the capacity of the aviation system, not just on the ground. On the ground is one issue, but when you get to an airport like Chicago O'Hare, it's not just an on-the-ground issue. It's also an in-the-air issue where you have to redesign airspace so you can accommodate the growing number of aircraft. Those were a couple areas. Another one, let me come back to the protecting the investment. I think that we can get more value from our investments in highway infrastructure, not just in the way of relieving traffic congestion, but maybe doing jobs in a more timely and cost-effective way.
We understand that the casualties from aviation-related crashes each year is relatively small, but you have some concerns about ensuring that FAA adjusts its oversight to current trends in the industry. What are some of those concerns?
Well, the airlines particularly have been trying to reduce their costs, in many cases successfully. They're not where they want to be yet, and you'll find that the older established carriers are usually the ones that you see. They're not called low-cost carriers yet, but they're trying to lower their costs to be like the lower-cost carriers, and that way they can, in theory, have their fares cover their costs, which they're not doing now. So when that happens, how do you lower your costs? Well, one of the ways they lower their costs is they take the maintenance, which they have been doing in-house, and they decide, well, let's outsource it to what they call third-party repair stations. Third-party repair stations are very respectable. They do good work. But FAA needs to change its management of what it's inspecting, because if you kept focusing your inspectors on in-house maintenance, you'd find that you're not getting a holistic look at how the airline is maintaining its planes. So we identified this as an issue for FAA to adjust its own management of how it oversees the airlines by covering more repair stations and covering in-house maintenance as well. So that's one example. I can go on. You have the development of microjets. Do you know in about a year and a quarter, a year and a half, you're going to find that you can buy a jet for about $1 million. It'll be about a four-person jet. That's not a reasonable price, but it's a lot more reasonable than $8 million, $10 million, and it becomes more affordable, particularly if groups of people get together and buy such a plane. But then the question becomes, you got to make sure these people are going to be certified pilots. They're going to be safe. And I think we'll have greater numbers of pilots and newer planes. So I think that's going to be an emerging safety issue.
If we could shift our focus to more of the ground transportation, we understand there are more than 40,000 people die each year in nation's highways. What are some of the recommendations your agency has made to improve highway safety?
Well, let's take seatbelts. There's a strong correlation between transportation safety in the highways and people that wear their seatbelts. And how do you get greater seatbelt enforcement? Well, one way is to have the police officers empowered to stop cars for no reason other than that they suspect that somebody is not wearing a seatbelt. And so we've really been pushing stronger enforcement of seatbelt laws. And of course, we can make these recommendations. It's the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration that has to implement them, and they have been doing so, and I think they've been doing a pretty good job, and so have the states, and it's showing up. You know, as traffic volumes increase, you would think, gee, you would expect to see more traffic deaths, but actually the fatality rate has dropped slightly, and we're at about the same arithmetic absolute number of deaths that we've had in the past. That's still too high, but that still represents an achievement when you have an increasing traffic. Another one has to be doing motorcycle helmets, but it's very controversial. It's become an issue of maybe this is too much of big brotherism to tell people they have to wear motorcycle helmets. And so some states, a number of states have chosen not to, and I think it's a judgment that obviously the state's going to make, but you have to recognize what the consequences of that judgment are going to be, particularly if you get somebody that's in a motorcycle accident, experiences head trauma. That could be many, many years, and it can be very, very costly. Alcohol-impaired driving is another one. The states have taken a much more aggressive posture here. We've been encouraging that. Certainly the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has done so, and they're making progress. Again, you're not at you're not there at the end state. Another one, this one is extremely intriguing. You'll recall when they had the Firestone incident a few years ago where these tires were coming off. Well, Congress passed a law that said, the thrust of this law was to get the government more in a proactive role to identify these defects before there were lots of injuries and lots of deaths. And it required Detroit and other manufacturers to report to the Department of Transportation when they were started to get complaints of safety problems or identifying for warranty claims or lawsuits were filed. And so the Department of Transportation with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has been developing this system. They call it the TREAD Act system, and it's proactively identifying defects in surface transportation vehicles. And I think it's a very positive development, and we've been very involved in that.
Air travel continues to present management challenges to all involved, both the public and government. What can and should be done? We'll ask Ken Mee, the Department of Transportation's Inspector General, about the issues confronting the FAA when the Business of Government Hour continues.